Good to be saved. Amen. So many faces I see, good friends, haven't seen in some time. And I'm excited. I seen Brother Patnaud get happy a minute ago and about made me get happy. And love Brother Patnaud. Well, somewhere. Well, let's pray. Would you pray with me? Father, we sure do thank you for allowing us to be gathered together today. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we pray this morning that you would help us this morning to be a help to your people. God, we pray that you'd help us through the unction and the anointing given to every believer, but God, would you make it effective for us this morning? God, would you help us to be a help to your people and say something worth saying? God, lead me in this hour and stand with me as at other times. We trust in your faithfulness and your goodness this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Read in Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir. Well, we, as the pastor said, we've been working with some church planting, church planter helps type thing, and trying to stay busy for the Lord. And we do have a heart for church planting, and we've tried to labor some in that. And just about 6 months or so ago, we started praying with our pastor about what to do and where to go with the ministry we were in. And dear Brother David Carroll, up in Crossville at Gospel Baptist Tabernacle, caught COVID and passed away. And several other families of the church were struggling there with COVID and some other things as well. And so by a turn of events, my pastor got it in his mind I was supposed to be up there, so we went up there, and we preached for a little while, and the church decided that they wanted us to stay for a little while, so they voted on us, and we accepted, and so now we're up there in Crossville at Gospel Baptist Tabernacle, and the Lord's given us very good facilities and a good group of people. You go into a church a lot of times. I told my pastor one time, I felt like I was in candidate evangelism. But you go into churches a lot of times, and you know there's a handful of good people, and those folks you worry about. And I've just never run into a group of people that seem so humble and precious and desires for God to do something. And I hope they don't find out that they're better Christians than I am, brother. I hope they don't find that out one day. And anyhow, so we're excited about what the Lord's doing, and just seeing some things come together. And so we are working on some things around there, trying to get busy. And I want to grow in numbers for sure, but I want us to grow. I want us to be strengthened. I want us that are there to be rich in doctrine and rich in worship. I want us to be a good place for God to send babies to. I want to be good parents for God to send little babies to help raise them and nurture them and see what the Lord will do with their life. And we want to see them grow up and do something for the Lord and go on back out and labor some more. So that's my heart's desire. as a pastor. But anyway, we've been here in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter number 3. And I just want to read just a little bit here to you this morning. And we normally stand for the reading. We'll do that this morning. We'll read just a few verses. We'll let you be seated here in just a moment. Chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing, I love how it personifies that there. I read after a commentator somewhere that said, just a way of saying it, just a poetic way of saying it. But if you look at the context and you look at the references there, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that is the Lord Jesus Christ on top of the mountain speaking to Abraham and saying, don't slay your son, but I'm going to make this covenant with you. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. For it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And so we'll allow you to be seated this morning. We've already prayed. And he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Watch this statement. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. And so I believe the idea here in this passage is this, that Galatia is some 700 miles away from where Jesus Christ was crucified. And so there is no way that Jesus was ever on a cross in the land of the Gauls. That's not what happened. But what he's saying here is this, he said that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. And what Paul is saying is this, we came to you and we preached Christ. We painted the picture in your mind. We showed you that he was beat with a cat of nine tails and his visage was marred more than the sons of men. We showed you how that he was hanging on the tree suspended between heaven and earth, and how that there was a crown of thorns and darkness was on from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, and how he cried. And what he's saying is this, we preached Christ so evidently in your midst that he might as well have been crucified right in front of you. And so what we have the responsibility to do as men of God, what we have the responsibility to do as preachers, they say, well, I don't like that slaughterhouse religion. And we understand we live in a day where they are wicked and they are filthy. But when you start talking about a bloody Savior, they start getting squirmish for some reason. But we have a responsibility to paint an accurate picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know why? Because that's what man did to our Savior. We must place the guilt squarely where it belongs, that man had God in his midst and beat him and spit on him and ridiculed him and nailed him to a cross. I'm not saved tonight because of what man did to Jesus. I'm saved tonight because there was darkness from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, and he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. When Jesus Christ died, he died with the judgment of God that I deserve, with the shame, my shame on him. He that had known no sin, he that had never made a mistake, died on that cross and suffered for mine. He suffered for my sin. He suffered for my shame. Well, that word curse it is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I don't know if we'll get there or not, but hopefully we will here in just a moment. But watch this. This only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And so now we have this idea. Here's what's going on in this book is these folks have gotten saved, and all of a sudden here comes somebody who says, yeah, it's good that you're saved, but you got to be circumcised too. Don't forget the Old Testament law. Don't forget these rules and things like that. If you really want to do it right, if you really want to get to heaven, you're going to have to add some things to the finished work of Calvary. And so he is in contradiction to that. He is saying, look, I want you to see this with me. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? What he's saying is this. You remember when you got saved. You remember the change. You remember the radical change. You had no inkling. You had no desire to go down there to the house of God or hear preaching or do right and live right and treat your name. You didn't have any of that. But all of a sudden, after you believed in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Everything changed at the hearing of faith, not by the works of the law. He's saying we have seen generation after generation after generation try to do it by the law and fail and live just the same as that old world out there lives and be just as corrupt as that world out there lives. By the law is the knowledge of sin. And the law is saying you got to get to Christ because I can't help you. You got to get to him because you can't do it like this. And so all of a sudden they say, hey, you started off, your life radically changed because of faith, but now you think you're going to add something back to your salvation by doing something that couldn't help you to begin with. By trying to, here's what I'm saying is this, when I got saved by the grace of God, I got in the favor of God. He loved me when I was yet unlovable, but guess what? I'm accepted in the Beloved right now. Before, hey, when I got born again by the grace of God, when you got born again, you might have had a problem with alcohol and cigarettes and drugs and all that. Before that stuff ever left your system, there was a God in heaven that looked down on you and said, that's my darling, and I love him, and he's never going to do anything to separate himself from my love. I'm never going to convince God to love me any more than he already does, because I'm saved. I'm one of his own. I'm his child. And it doesn't matter tomorrow if I get up and make a mistake and fail and do wrong. God's not going to love me anymore. God is not going to love me any less. God loves me not based on what I'm doing, but based on Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And he imputed that righteousness to me. God loves me with an unchanging love. You can go pick up the Sabbath, and you can quit eating pork, and you can depend on circumcision. You can get all the rest of that mess that people try to throw themselves under and try to convince God to love you. I said this not too long ago. Can I give you just a silly example? There's this one car, and they only made one like it. And it's got just a certain set of, it's got a certain kind of wheels on it. It's got a certain radio in it. It's a certain package. They only made one. There's never been another one made. And guess what? It's sitting in my driveway. And so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave that car and I'm going to go out to car lot after car lot after car lot and say, by the way, do you have this car? And they're going to say, no, we don't have that. I think there was one made one time, but we've never had one. And I'm going to go to another car lot and say, do you have this one? You know what's going to happen? I'm going to wind up disappointed every time because I'm not going to find it, but it's already sitting in my driveway. I'm not going to find the favor of God because of how long a skirt is. I'm not going to find the favor of God to wear a long skirt and be modest and love Jesus. I'm not going to find the favor of God because of how much money I drop in the plate or how many times I walk through the back door of the church, although you ought to do those things. But if you're looking for the love and the favor of God in those things, you're going to wind up disappointed every time. But you'll just simply look in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll return to him and you'll realize that Jesus Christ loved you when you were yet unlovable and he saved you. You've got everything God has for you. I've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. I got the full package deal, and if I'm looking for the love of God and the favor of God anywhere else than what he has done, I'm never going to find it. I'm going to wind up disappointed and sad and wonder why Oh, I should have. If I'd have done this more, if I'd have said that more, then God would have answered that prayer. If I'd have give this more, then God would have answered that prayer, and this bad thing wouldn't have happened in my life. You are allowing the devil to take something that God has done with and put it back on you. He is putting the curse back on you. He's putting the condemnation back on you, and it doesn't belong in your life. If you couldn't get yourself to God and under God's favor back then, you'll not do it now either. I'm not trying to earn favor with God. I have favor with God. God is looking for somebody. Can I say this to you? Here's the disciples' prayer. Here's what we think. Oh God, I'm coming to you and I'm filthy and I'm dirty and I'm nasty. And before I can ask you for anything, I'm just going to have to get these things right. That's not what Jesus said. He said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He had to confess some stuff later in the sin, but his prayer started with worship. He said, "God, I'm coming to you." He said, disciples come to God this way. First off in worship, because he wants to hear from you. He wants to receive you. And God is not worried about necessarily in our fellowship everything about this flesh, because he knows it's damned and he hasn't been redeemed quite yet. But he started off with worship, and before he confessed anything, before he said, "I thought this wrong," before he said, "I did this wrong," before he said, "God, give us this day our daily bread." And it wasn't until the very end that he made sure his sins got taken care of. And I'm not saying don't worry about your sins. But what I am saying is this: there's a part of me, Brother Patnall, that's saved and sealed and will never sin and will never displease him. And when I go to him in prayer, it's not this thing talking to God. It's my saved soul talking to God, and he wants to hear from me. God's not answering your prayers because of something you did or something you didn't do. God just wants to answer your prayers because you asked him to. Amen. And if he doesn't seem to answer them and it doesn't go your way, then God knows a whole lot more than you know. God knows a whole lot better than what you know. "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." Can I say this right here? Where sin did abound. Where sin did abound. You know what the context of that passage is? It's those living under the law. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. May I say to you that nobody, when you get to the glory world, nobody will be able to stand there and say, "I kept the law good enough to get here." They won't. Abraham won't do it. Moses won't do it. Elijah won't be able to do it. But there'll be a time where they exercise faith in the light that God gave them in the Word of God. Abraham didn't understand, but when he said, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed," Abraham didn't understand what he was saying back then, but he believed it. Amen. Can I say to you that looking from here, looking that way, all they could see was the smokiness and the judgment of God and the pillar of smoke coming down on Mount Sinai. But what was happening on Mount Sinai was only to prepare for what God would do on another mountain down there. And so here they are looking this way. All they can see is the commandment. All they can see is this smoke in Sinai. And if they'll just exercise faith and do what, of course, they're supposed to be obedient. Can I say this to you? The reason they kept all those laws is for the same reason that I don't drink alcohol. Because God told me not to. I'm not drinking alcohol because I want to do that to get to heaven. I'm not laying cigarettes down so I can get to heaven. I'm laying all that stuff down because Jesus loved me and he told me to. Amen. And that's why they kept the law too. And here they are. They're seeing the smoking of the judgment of God and the thunders and the lightnings. But here's what they're doing is they're looking that way. They couldn't see Mount Calvary for Sinai, but they was at least looking that direction. Amen. They didn't know what they were believing to. I'm not saying that they all believed in the death, burial, and the resurrection of the cross, but I am saying they believed the Word of God and their faith was that direction. But guess what? I'm on the other side. Hallelujah. And I'm over here looking back that way. And Brother Nichols, I can't see Sinai because of Calvary blocking my view. Amen. All I can see is Calvary. I don't need Sinai because I got a hold of what happened on Calvary. And I'm saved. I'm sealed. I'm secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Look in verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse. That means to be bought back. To be redeemed from a curse. The curse was a bondage. The curse was weighing us down. The Bible says here that being redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And of course, this morning we don't have time to run all those references, but those are direct quotes from the Old Testament. But here's what the Bible says. Christ was made a curse for us. You know what else he said? That he took those ordinances which were against us, and he nailed them to his cross. And if he nailed them to his cross, what do you think happened to the law of ordinances? He's hanging on the cross, bleeding. And all of a sudden, when they pull him down off the cross, if he said he nailed them to the cross, there's blood covering those ordinances now. He was made a curse for us, and the curse of every commandment where we had broken it, God hung on the tree for that, and God judged him for every time we had broken that Old Testament law. He was made a curse. I deserve the curse. I deserve to be excommunicated, put away from God, never to have the mercy of God. But Jesus took that for me. He looked up. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that I don't have to forsake those. Amen. He nailed him to the cross. And when he bled all over those ordinances. I'm talking about blood-covered ordinances. The same blood that would very soon be sprinkled on the mercy seat, the one that was in heaven. He was made a curse for us. Cursed everyone that hangeth on a tree. Watch this, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to be done. I'm going to try to hurry right here. The promise of the Spirit. You know what he's saying? He's talking about the earnest of the Spirit. You understand, we don't have time to run all this morning, but there is a time when we are going to see the redemption of the purchased possession. If God says, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. If God says, I'm one of those, I'm in that boat, I'm in that crowd. But so far, what's happened is the price has been paid and I belong to him. I'm as good as redeemed. But one day he's coming back to get, to claim. He's coming back to redeem what has already been purchased. And guess what he gave us? When I got married, I went to my wife and I said, please, would you please? Don't say no. Would you marry me? And what I did is I slipped a ring on her finger. And when I slipped the ring on her finger, everywhere she went, she said, I belong to him. He's going to marry me. I belong to him. I can't talk to anybody else. I can't spend time with anybody else. I belong to him. And one of these days, thereafter, I come along and I got her to the church and I had to, you know, slip her some drugs and got her up there and she said, I do. Just joking, but the Holy Ghost of God is given to you because as Christ would go prepare a place for his bride, he said, I'll come again and receive you unto myself that where I am there you may be also. We've been given the promise, the inheritance, the down payment of the Spirit. It is the down payment. It is of our inheritance. And I'm throwing a lot of stuff at you, I understand. But that is, can I just power shift and say this? What God did is he looked up there in heaven and said, well, they get all this. Streets of gold, gates of pearl, mansions and all that stuff. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take part of heaven and put it down in their soul. Yes, sir. I'm going to give them a little bit of their inheritance. I'm going to put God on the inside. I'm going to put what makes heaven so holy on the inside of them.
That's right.
And God gave us a down payment. And one of these days, the redemption of the purchased possession will happen. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to go to be with him. And so shall I ever be with the Lord. And guess what? He still wants to come get me when I say things I ought not say. He still wants to come and get me when I don't do what I ought to do, when I don't pray like I ought to pray. He still loves me. And he's still working with me. And he's still coming to get me. He loves me. God loves me because of Jesus Christ, not because of any one thing I've done.